past the Vazul, baby.
Come on in.
Well, hello, screamers. Welcome to the Scream Until You Like It podcast. I hope you're still screaming. I hope you're starting to like it. I am Clint Gordon. Tonight, that is a reference to something I'll probably talk about in a little bit. Mike, Evil Mike is not with me tonight, unfortunately. But if you have not gotten your fill of Evil Mike lately, we just posted a review of 1931's Frankenstein. So I encourage you to go check that out on the YouTube channel. Tonight, I'm joined with a very special guest, one Mr. Matt L. Anderson, going to get the L in there, from Key 13 Films. How you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing great. Oh, dear, I've got a little bit of a thing problem.
Oh, my goodness.
Trying to get rid of it. Hey, oh. All right, I'm free. I am doing great, Clint. Thank you so much for having me on. Now drink water, so before I start coughing,
Yeah, those things. I see them everywhere.
What the hell are these things?
Now I'm starting to see them in my sleep. I'm definitely going to bring that up here in a little bit, but, almost exactly 2 weeks ago, we met for the first time in, Waynesboro, Pennsylvania. Jeez, yeah. I keep wanting to say Hagerstown. I know that's not right. It's Waynesboro, nope. Pennsylvania.
Yep, it was Waynesboro.
Yeah, at the little Waynesboro Theater. You just had a movie premiere called Anna Key. And that is something that I would very much like to draw attention to. Not all that long ago, we talked to your director. We talked to Amanda Megan.
Yes.
She's a very nice woman. And when I saw the movie, I would have to say that she was a very good choice to work on your film. How do you feel about how your movie turned out?
Oh, I was just absolutely ecstatic at how well it came out. I came up with the idea in 2007. So it's took this long for it to all come together. You know, I wrote it and what I originally wrote was a lot more existential. A little bit more metaphysical than what we came down with. When I was ready to start making Anna Key, I had met Amanda on Heavy Duty Man.
Heavy Duty Man.
Heavy Duty Man has an appetite for the
babies. Another film we'll talk about, I'm sure, a little bit later on. And so I gave her the script, and she came back with a lot of really great suggestions and adjustments. There was a subplot that was completely unnecessary. We needed to, you know, she said, let's get rid of that. You know, she really helped make Anna the character that she is because she has done a lot of Anna-like things. Most women have been an Anna Key at some point in their life. And every man has dated an Anna Key at some point at their life. Matter of fact, a lot of who Anna Key is based off of a couple of ex-girlfriends of mine. So, you know, I was very familiar with it. But Amanda, when she came in, I knew that she wanted to direct. She'd done a little directing on a couple of other projects. And so, you know, she had the same vision that I had. She made the story a little tighter, a little bit more coherent, a little bit more focused. And then, you know, of course she, you know, we had her direct and, you know, she was able to get some really great performances out of the cast. But of course, the star of the movie is Abigail Hendricks, and she just came out swinging from her video audition and pretty much just ran with it all the way until the premiere. You know, she just was, you know, we were all in awe. Jesse L. Green, who was her co-star in Anarchy, played Danny. The two of them worked a lot together to develop the rapport, the relationship that you saw on the screen. And that was because of all that work. And so Amanda was able to, you know, take what they had already done and then hone it to where we needed it to be for each scene. So just absolutely thrilled with the way that it came out. And, you know, just it, once we got it done, we had a great cast, we had a great crew. Once we got it all done, then there was a long process of editing, and then sound adjustment and, you know, all the other stuff that goes into production. So, but, you know, by the time I was done with it, I'd seen Anarchy about 50, 60 times.
Oh my.
So, you know, at that point, as much as I love the movie, I was also like, okay, all right, one more time. And then, but once it finally finished, once it was done, once we saw it on the big screen there in Waynesboro at the Waynesboro Theater, and I want to say to them, thank you so much. They were just an absolute joy to work with. Very helpful, very friendly. You know, great place to do a premiere. I will definitely be doing other premieres with them. They're very supportive of the indie film community. They even rolled out the red carpet for us, which, you know, that was awesome. So
yeah,
it really was just an absolute joy to see it on the big screen. And, you know, I actually kind of was sitting by myself. I had, my friend and one of my associates, Tom Toohey, sitting next to me, but he's one of those, he's very quiet through a movie. So
oh yeah,
the two of us just kind of just sat there in these little seats off to the side so we could just enjoy the movie. Because yeah. I finally could enjoy it without having to, okay, well, I got to fix this sound and this thing and all that. So, you know, everyone put their heart and soul into it. Everyone did a excellent job. I was so happy. I'm so thrilled about it. You know, we're getting ready to start putting it out on the festival circuit.
Oh, good.
We just got to figure out which festivals we're going to go with and, you know, which ones can give us, you know, the best bang for the buck, so to speak.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. And, you know, and certainly get the recognition, and hopefully that will lead to a distribution deal. If not, then we'll figure out the next steps.
Yeah. After. Yeah. Maybe you can self distribute.
That's a possibility. Yes. Yeah.
I'll tell you a funny story. So we were talking to Amanda Megan, and the premiere of Anarchy came up, and that was one of the major things we were going to talk about. And Mike starts making all these promises. I'm not sure why. I'm suspicious that maybe he was smitten with her, but he's like, oh, we're going to go to the premiere. He's like, we're going to get her tickets. I'm going to book a hotel room. I'm going to swing by Clint's house. I'm going to grab him, throw him in the car, and we're going to be there. And I go to buy the tickets, and I'm like, hey, you're still coming, right? And he's like, oh, dude, I went to book the hotel room. And he's like, I see it's on a Friday. He's like, I'm 5 hours away. There's no way I'm going to get out of work for that, you know? Mm. And I'm like, oh, it's a chick flick. You son of a bitch. You're going to stick me with it. And, and so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get the ticket. I'm going to go. And I'm going to represent us there. And it just, it is what it is, you know? But I ended up having a really good time. So you turned me, man. It wasn't, it didn't come off entirely like a chick flick. It had a lot of really good moments in it. And I think to a degree, to bring up what you were saying about it, there being more metaphysical elements in it previously, unlike your original draft, you still managed to get some of that in there.
That girl is fire and damnation in an angel's body. I can't tell you how many men and women have tried to clip her, and she's driven them all straight to hell.
Who's that guy with Grover? I never seen him before.
That's Danny. That's Grover's old war buddy from Desert Storm.
You need to leave her alone. That young thing has a lot of pain.
Ever since her parents' death, she's been pulled in a million directions.
We all handle grief differently. It's just a human condition. I'd just like to see more of you.
What's there to see? I'm a disaster.
They're going to show. They always show.
They make me who I am.
They show. You go.
It's clear to me that you have some intense feelings for this guy, and you gotta do something about it.
You feel that?
Yeah.
Don't make it stop.
Yeah.
And I'm actually really proud of this. I mean, this is Abigail on your,
hey,
your poster.
Nice.
I got absolutely as many signatures as I could possibly get at the after party. And now, Abigail's awesome. I saw her on the screen and I was like, oh, I wonder if she's really like that person. And I'm like, totally, 100%. She is so full of energy. I couldn't even take it. Like, I talked to her for like 2 minutes. Like, I got to get out of here.
Oh, yeah. She is hyper. She is in a lot of ways Anna Key herself.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are obviously some differences between Abigail and Anna, as there is. But, you know, again, Anna is an amalgamation of different women and different aspects of it. And, yeah, you know, I am not a chick flick guy, although I still weep in the scene and Sense of Sensibility, you know, Mr. Darcy and all that stuff. So, you know, I do. Yes, it's an excellent movie. You know, so I enjoy all kinds of films. Yes, I have my favorites. I'm a sci-fi guy through and through. But I do enjoy all kinds of films. And with Anna Key, we really didn't want to just do a movie just for women. We wanted to do a movie that, like I said, that men could go, oh gosh, I knew that girl. I dated her from blank to blank. And the women can say, oh my God, she's doing exactly what I've done in the past. And so, you know, something like the mushroom tripping scene,
yes.
You know, that right there is kind of, you know, much more metaphysical because she's basically working through her emotional baggage in a surrealist way. And so, you know, that was kind of there, and that was one of the big scenes that we really wanted to make sure that stayed into there, because it just, you know, it's as a person, she's a partier, she's a drinker, she does drugs, you know, and the key component that Amanda and I really made sure that we wanted to make sure is that Anna could grow and develop, but not change fundamentally who she is. A proud, open, bisexual woman who lives free, who, you know, is creative, you know, we didn't want her to lose all that, like so many of these movies where they basically do a 180 and completely change who they are. We didn't want to lose the core of who Anna Key was, and that was something that Amanda was really instrumental in making sure that that we did not lose that, and that she wasn't doing the standard girl tropes as in romantic comedies where she changes for the man. She actually, she actively rebels against that to the point where she gets in her own way. That was why. I think that's why it resonates with a lot of people, because not only do you know somebody like that or have dated somebody like that, but you understand, you know, how that those hangups and your own personal baggage can really direct you to a certain path. And it's up, and ultimately it's up to you. It's not somebody changing you. Nobody can change you. You have to change yourself. And that was kind of the core tenet that Amanda and I wanted to make sure that was in there. And so that's exactly what you got.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I'm glad that you guys made those choices, because those seem accurate on a human level. I mean, like, you wouldn't change who you are at your core. You would just come to certain realizations. You would become a better person, whether you had an epiphany or you just learned some hard lessons in life. You know, and just grew emotionally and mentally, for that matter. I felt she had a great character arc, I really enjoyed her. I'll just call it her epiphany.
Yes,
it was a good scene. I think it came off really well. If I am not mistaken, I probably saw your name appear about 4 times on the poster. You wrote the movie, you produced the movie, you edited the movie. What did I miss?
No, you pretty much got the big pieces. Key 13 Films is not, I'm not this huge. I mean, you're in Key 13 right here. This is Key 13. All of it, or most of it. The rest of it's downstairs in the basement. Some of it's in the that room back there, through the closet into my Japan room. So, you know, that's one of the things when you're on the micro budget, indie budget film world. If you raise the funds, if you raise enough money, sure, you can hire the people that you need. But if you don't, then somebody's got to pick up the slack. And since it's, you know, my company, my project, you know, I'm the one who's basically, you know, gathering the funds, gathering the people, you know, ultimately somebody's got to edit the thing. And
right.
If nobody's available, nobody can do it, we can't afford to pay somebody, then it falls down to me. And not the way I'd like to be. I would like to be able to have an editor. And originally we had a couple of other people on board, but unfortunately they had to move on due to various reasons. COVID really kind of knocked a lot of people for a loop. And we just started right when COVID hit. So we were barely a year old when we were already losing, you know, all the projects that we had set aside had to basically be put on the back burner for a while. So, you know, with COVID, you know, and workloads increased and, you know, we all have day jobs, as they say, we lost a couple of really good people. And so, you know, somebody had to pick up the slack. And since I was the last man standing, that was me. That's the reason why my name's over. You're going to see my name on a lot of things. These things, obviously, serious profession, but Heavy Duty Man, I am just a producer and a story by credit. Heavy Duty Man was all Tom Tuohy. He wrote the screenplay. He directed it. He's got a guy, Matt Madsen. He's doing the editing on it. We got another guy that is doing the sound. Shoot, and I just went up on his name. I'm going to get his name in a minute so that I can give him credit because he's come up with a fantastic score. And then, so, you know, that project is completely being done. I just basically, you know, was involved in the creation of the story. I've directed and filmed the original proof of concept short, which is still out there. But Tom really took over and really ran with it and made it the project it is. And same thing with the George A. Romero's Resident Evil documentary. Brandon Salisbury is the director on that one. He's the lead. Again, I'm executive producing that. So my primary job is just working on the contracts and managing the money and helping like secure locations, things like that, that he was looking at for whatever, making sure everybody got paid what they were owed and all that. Mm-hmm. So I kind of have split myself between where I'm either running the project, you know, at least now I'm either running the project or I'm handing it completely over to somebody else because I just can't do it all. There's just no real way to do that without burning myself out. And, you know, in order to maintain the quality, because that is, for me, that's probably, I think people sometimes get sick of hearing me complain about quality. Andy Hunt, that was the name of the guy. Sorry, Andy. All apologize right. If you're watching this. Sorry, it took so long. you know, I can't do it all by myself. You know, but I also want to make sure that the quality is the big thing with me. I that was one of our core tenets when myself and the other persons founded the company is we wanted to make sure that we provided the best possible film, you know, best sound, best video, make it look good, make it look interesting, keep you engaged, keep you entertained. Like Anarchy. Anarchy is just a prime example of all the things that we want at Key 13. And even Cinephoto, even though Cinephoto is more of our, to use an analogy, Key 13 is Miramax. So Miramax made Shakespeare in Love, which I love. And then Cinephoto is our Dimension Films making Halloween 6. that's the way to break down. So Heavy Duty Man and these things, those are Cinephoto. Those are, you know, much more straightforward, fun, but enjoyable films. While Key 13 is, you know, the Resident Evil documentary. It's a very compelling story, a very in-depth story. Anarchy, serious profession. You know, we still kind of sojourn into horror with like our films Hoodie, AD 2021 and Phobic. The lines blur. And originally we were going to treat Cinephoto just completely separate. It wasn't, you know, we weren't even going to announce that we were really involved, but it turned out that was a foolish idea. It's just better just to embrace who you are, Anna. Embrace who you are, and you know, okay. So yes, I like writing a film like Anna Key, A Serious Profession. Yes, I like writing a film like These Things, or you know, Heavy Duty Man. Like I wrote the original proof. Tom wrote the actual screenplay for the movie, but you know, it's all based upon the ideas that I had. Tom took it and ran with it. So, I can do both. I can do thought provoking, deep, metaphysical, esoteric films. And I can do fun, silly, crazy things like These Things or Sexy Sorority Sisters of Death or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've embraced both sides and I just have fun with it. I love writing.
Yeah, I did notice that that you did have a separation on your website, and the website's actually something I want to draw attention to. So maybe I'll just see in the projects here. This is what you're talking about with your Key 13 productions. You've got your Anna Key, you've got your Resident Evil documentary, and then you've got some of your short films listed here, like your Hoodie, your Phobic Project, your Last Toast, and of course 2021 AC. And this is what Key13Film.com. Actually, I would encourage anyone to go look at this, because the cool thing is you can hop on here and you can not only watch trailers to some of your films that you have on here, but you can also catch your short films on here. So that's something that kind of drew me in. I kind of caught the bug on short films a while back, talking to some other folks who do like 48-hour film projects. And I was amazed at what a ride you could be taken on in like 7 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, so over here you have a tab just for Cinephoto, which you have, of course, Heavy Duty Man and These Things.
Yep.
How long has Key 13 existed? Like, when did you decide to start making films?
When did I start making films was before Key 13 was created.
Okay.
I've been working on films. It's actually a fairly recent development for me. I primarily was doing photography. I did a while back, I did a faux French film, inspired by the science fiction film Le Jeet. And so it was all still photographs, and it was Def, The Final Journey. And I used Google Translate to add the French voice to it. So that was back in the early aughts, maybe a little bit later. But I was mostly doing photography. I was working on a show called Behind the Set Actually, I was interviewed with a show called Behind the Set, and then I wound up working with the woman who created it, Rose Genevieve, although I don't think she goes by that name anymore. She brought me on board, and so she took me onto the set of a movie that she was doing a segment on, and they needed a cameraman, so I joined up. And that pretty much got the bug. That was about 6 years ago, thereabouts, maybe seven, going on seven, somewhere around there. Then worked on another film with a bunch of the same people. And then decided to kind of break off on my own along with a couple of other people. So 4 years ago, we just celebrated our 4-year anniversary. November 13th is our anniversary. So this November 13th will be our 5th-year anniversary. I say we because everybody that's been involved is a member of Key 13 Films. It's kind of a little bit different where instead of we all have a set group of people, we have a project, people come on board, they work on the project. If they enjoy it, they want to work on the next project, they can. If they're not able to, they can move on to whatever other projects that they've got going on. I hear a dog.
Yep, that's my dog.
Okay. I was like, I better not have a dog in my house. My cats are not going to be happy. So we started 4 years ago, mm-hmm. and of course, so that's 2019, then 2020 comes along, COVID hits, and a lot of the stuff that we were doing got put on the hold. Fortunately, we were doing, we had a series of Terribly Awful, which concluded its run a couple of years ago. You can see that on the website under the projects tab. You'd actually have to go to the projects tab. We don't have them set aside because the shows are over now. So, there's still out there. It's on Facebook. But one of my co-hosts in it, he was unable to, we were unable to continue doing the show after the last season. It was disappointing, but you know, things happen. He had to move on and take care of things that he needed to. So we did that. We did the Elementals comic book project, which is also under the project section. We did that. We worked with Rick Germain, at the Noise Pit, which is his recording studio. I've only done the first episode because, you know, once I started losing, you know, once the two guys that were helping me out had to go and move on because of COVID, you know, all the other projects that we had been stacked up. So I had to start working on those. So unfortunately that one hasn't got, you know, we still have most of the episodes done audio wise, but the editing part is the part that's taking too long and all that. So, you know, we had a little bit of a stutter stop, but then we did Hoodie. Hoodie was our very first thing we ever did. Then AC 2021, which was done during COVID. Then we did Paralyzed, the sequel, once COVID was lifted. Mm-hmm. We did Serious Profession. We did the proof of concept for Heavy Duty Man. So then once Serious Profession was done in the can, and you know, that's right around the time when things started to change. So I started having to do that. So it just, the last 4 years have been incredibly challenging, and incredibly busy and a lot of hard work. And I am grateful for, people like Amanda and Tom Tui, and Andrew Stainer, who's pretty much been with me almost from the very beginning. They have been very helpful on the behind the scenes stuff, helping me keeping going, keeping on track, focused. So, you know, without them, I wouldn't be where I am right now, which is I got 4 films coming out this year. Anna Keys now out, Serious Profession, last bit of sound editing by the end of the month. Heavy Duty Man will come out sometime this year, and the Resident Evil is done. It is ready to go. But that's dependent upon the distributor. But you know, I got 4 films coming out. I'm very happy about that. Mm-hmm. Very proud of everybody who was involved in every single project. Cause we had a lot of great people on every project, and, I couldn't be happier. And then of course I just released One Last Toast, with a really awesome cast, a couple like Shonda Rawlings.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to work with her for a while, and I was there on set when she was working on Heavy Duty Man, and she was just freaking hilarious. So her and Damia Tarhagen, and then you know, Blaine Chesley, and then of course we had 2 new actresses, Helen Chang Mao and Jean Rosalino, who I had not worked with before, but I loved working with them. So, you know, we try to, you know, there's a lot of people in these things. It's just another one. Pretty much most of the cast in these things are people that I either had worked with before or people that I've been wanting to work with. And I was so glad that, you know, they all said yes. And so I'm very lucky to have this. So, I know I've kind of gotten way off the topic here. The simple question was, how long ago did you start? How long has Keith been teaming around? Simple answer, 4 years.
I'm fine with it. But, you know, looking at just the movies that you have coming out this year, you know, I could say it's true what you said. Like, you don't marry yourself to one genre. I mean, you know, looking at the synopsis of Serious Profession, you know, you're talking about people who collect for basically a crime family. You look at Heavy Duty Man. That strikes to me, it strikes a little bit like the Toxic Avenger, in the sense you have some type of underdog character who transforms into something else, and has adventures. I don't know if he fights crime, but I mean, it's an interesting look.
I would say it's safe to assume he, a Toxic Avenger vibe is definitely not an incorrect statement. you know, I'm not, And that's kind of the neat thing about, like, with the cinema. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Heavy Duty Man, you've probably seen the movie before, but not the way that it's been done.
Right.
And Tom, you know, excellent director. I really liked his vision. Just from the little bits of footage that I've seen, everybody, when it's done, people are going to be in for a royal treat. Definitely in for a treat.
I've met Tom one time, and I'd like to see him again. I don't know if he's going to be around this weekend or anything, but
he will be at Creature Feature. So okay. If I see him, I will, and I see you, I will try to establish a connection.
Sounds good to me. So of course, Anna Key is already done. You've had your world premiere of it, and you said you're going to hit the film circuit. And I wish you a lot of luck with that. This weekend, I just alluded to it, is Creature Feature Weekend in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Which is a horror convention that's been going on for several years now. There's going to be some celebrity guests there, but the thing that I'm most excited about is the fact that we are going to have what seems to be a large number of indie film people in attendance there. Yourself included. And I think you told me that you're premiering your documentary, George Romero's Resident Evil.
It's fabulous. You know, I love making the movies, and it's great that there's a game which is like a flashback to that genre. And it's, you know, I can feel maybe a little bit like I had some influence on it. So I feel very flattered.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Romero is a legend. We miss him.
A lot of us weren't fully appreciative of the man that was been assigned to it.
What the hell is this place anyway?
It was only as you got older and you started to explore the movies and then read about his impact and legacy in the games and how the games were themselves inspired by George Romero.
George A. Romero's Resident Evil.
We are doing a 25-minute sort of advanced preview. Okay. We're also doing a panel. So that's at 3:30 at Theater 2 at Creature Feature. So I will be there on the panel along with director Brandon Salisbury, cinematographer, deep director of photography, Tom Robinall. I believe Jordan Miller is going to be moderating. This is my second film that is going to get some audiences. Obviously we have to wait and see, you know, how the distributor is going to put it out there. Yeah. But at least you're going to get a good glimpse at what the movie is going to be like.
Yeah. So. And I'm very new to this. I don't know how it escaped me to this point, but it's only been very recently that I've known of the existence of this this documentary. I mean, what's the general focus of it? Is it just George Romero himself, or
it's a little bit of history about George Romero, who okay. we all know, the father, considered the father of the modern zombie film.
Mm-hmm.
Resident Evil, which is many consider the first of the survival horror, but it's not. But you know, it's the one that really kind of came out and hit the ground running, so to speak. And then after that, and so then the story covers a little bit about that history, and then it comes together because you have George Romero, the creator of the modern zombie film. You have Resident Evil, the ultimate zombie survival horror. You know, without Resident Evil, we wouldn't have half the things that we have out there now.
I love those games. I wish Mike was here. He'd be gushing. He loves those games too. I have like all of them sitting back here.
I have them in my game room downstairs. I actually have the Japanese versions.
Well, then I don't have all of them.
Yeah. I have Biohazard 1 and I have Biohazard 1 and 2, as well as Resident Evil 0 for the GameCube and
yes,
a few others. So, so the rest of the movie is talking about why the Resident Evil movie didn't get made. What happened? This is the definitive story on what happened, with interviews from people who were a lot of people who are surrounded or involved in it, or you know, have the insider knowledge, as well as we talk about the script and a lot of other things. So it's the story of, and it appealed to a lot of indie filmmakers. That's where George started. And then he wound up, you know, he didn't really never really quite got mainstream. So, you know, this could have been it, but instead they decided to go with the Paul W.S. Anderson version. So we're looking at that story. We're giving everybody as much information as we can, and, you know, and just find out, you got to find out how the story goes. Because, yeah, we already know how it ends, but you don't know all the things that led up to that point. And there's, you know, rumor and hearsay and all that. We try to give you as much really solid information as we can.
Yeah. That sounds awesome. Well, however much of it you're showing there, I'm going to try to catch it. And I'll probably see if I can try to get to the panel too. That sounds great. It sounds really in depth. I know the things are connected, but I never really connected them before. You know,
yeah, there's some debate on whether Resident Evil George may, you know, if it wasn't for Resident Evil exists because of George Romero. Some would say, well, they would have gotten there some way. You know, that's Brandon is really the George Romero expert. I like George Romero films. I enjoy them. But I don't know all the intricacies of that world. That's part of the reason why Brandon is the director on this project, because he's very familiar. He knows the people involved. He knows the history, and also is a fan of the game. So, you know, Brandon and Tom really did a lot of work on that. I mean, they pretty much did the whole thing. Like I said, I was more in an advisory and administrative position. I got to be in it for a little bit. You see the back of my head in a couple scenes. My fist pounding, maybe. I don't know if it made it in the final cut. I haven't watched the final cut in a while, so I have to go back and rewatch it.
Was it one of those like black and white dramatization scenes, you know?
Well, it wasn't black and white, but it was a dramatization scene.
Okay.
So we had that. We did a couple of that. I did a couple of little brief cameos in there, and, you know, doing the Hitchcock thing.
Nice.
But, when you're there at Creature Feature, there's going to be a table for the Resident Evil movie. Mm-hmm. Stop by, talk with Brandon Salisbury. He is the man on that project. So, you know, talk with him. He's just a fountain of information about George Romero and that whole everything.
That's awesome. That's great. Yep. It sounds like a good time. I'm planning on spending a lot of time in the theater if I can, because there's a ton of short films happening there. I'll probably head over and see Tim Gross and Madeline Deering, and hopefully I'll catch a viewing of Bathtub Shark Attack. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm actually with my son that weekend. Okay. And he is not a horror film fan. Not at all. Unfortunately, I'm going to miss most of it. He wants to hit the dealer's room. So that's where you're going to find me for most of it until our panel. Mm-hmm. actually worked with or met Madeline on Heavy Duty Man. She did a cameo.
Okay.
Film. You know, I'm going to stop by and say hi at their table.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And, yes, I am kind of curious to check out Bathtub Shark. but I will probably have to buy it on DVD or Blu-ray, yeah. Cause I don't think I'll be, going to the showing.
I got you.
Just like, Jordan Miller, who's moderating our panel, he's debuting his film, The Only Ones,
yes,
Friday night. And I can't make it to that one because, again, one, it's way late.
Yeah.
And Kenji's just not a horror film guy. And my son is autistic. So I can't, you know, I can leave him on his own, but not late, overnight.
No, I see.
So, you know.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, I'm going to miss a few of the things that I wanted to go see, but that's okay. I'm going to go there. I'm going to have a great time. I'm going to do the panel. So I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to seeing all the people that I know there. There's just so many people I know that are going to be there. Manny's going to be there. Another indie filmmaker, Justin Adams, who I helped out on one of his projects. Madeline Deering. Tom's going to be there. I mean, there's just going to be so many people
yeah.
there.
Yeah. That's the draw for me. That's what I'm excited about. Yeah. Well, I wanted to bring up another project, which is basically in its infancy right now, as I like to call that, because you basically just opened up an Indiegogo campaign. Mm. It seems to me like you're stepping into yet a different genre, and you're going to be going more in a sci-fi direction. I loved the here I'll just bring up the Indiegogo page because I love the description of it. and I'll probably go ahead and put the trailer in here while I'm at it.
Something evil has arrived. It has no remorse, no pity. Ah! It doesn't know love.
There you are, babe. There you are. Oh, get that away from me. It smells worse than Cleaver's weed.
It only hates. Ah!
Hey, Betty. Anybody home?
Ew. Is that smell?
Wasn't me.
Are you sure?
And you never know when these things will strike.
Says a blend of horror and comedy films like Critters and Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. And of course, you can see it right here on Indiegogo. It is an 80s sci-fi alien madness feature film.
Yes. Currently
at $2,800. I just want to kind of give everybody a general idea of what the things look like. You've already teased that with the Kushball craze of the 90s. I remember that very well.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little cut of it. Here's your plot.
Yep.
Synopsis, a few little stills from the concept. And you got your cast.
Yeah. Fantastic cast.
Yeah.
Fantastic crew. And trust me, I am working on the latest poster. Craig Sturtz there. He is the special effects man. He did special effects on Heavy Duty Man. He did special effects on our Resident Evil movie.
I see Harbinger down there. That was a Lance Hendrickson movie, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was in it. He had one of the best deaths in the movie, and you actually see him. And so, yeah, so, I mean, we are incredibly lucky, and there's so many awesome creature effects. I can't show any of them right now because the Dusto, which, I mean, it's that kind of double-edged sword.
Yeah.
The creature effects that we have are so amazingly awesome, but if we spoil it, you're going to expect it. So it's just, it kills me. But the new poster that I am working on that I hopefully will have available as a perk, I'm basically going to create it so that anybody who we're going to do the poster. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be, you know, anybody who asks about it at Creature Feature, I'll send them the link and they can, at least the plan is that they'd be able to probably purchase it. I think that's what I'm going to do if I get it done in time. But yeah, the poster, you're going to see what the things really look like. And again, it's all thanks to Craig, and just he's been working the problem now and all through the pre-production phase. And oh my gosh, what he's come up with is just, I mean, we did a test run of some of the special effects when we were filming the proof of concept trailer. And oh my goodness, you should have heard the exclamations of delight when it was over.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yes, sir. Well, a lot of these perks look really affordable. I mean, the associate producer is only $169, and you can do as little as $5 to support a thing.
Yeah.
You can get IMDb credit, and you can get into Andy credits for $10. Thing Wrangler. I'm not really sure what that means, but
okay. So let me explain it. Okay. So, if you're a Thing Wrangler, Thing Wranglers, we need as many things. We need as many of these things. Sorry. Many of these things, many of these things. And then we have a couple of really big things. Gotcha. We need as many things as we can get our hands on. So a Thing Wrangler, you get a credit on the film on the credits as a Thing Wrangler. So Thing Wranglers, you're all going to have a list. And then a little bit later on, we have a Thing Thrower, a Thing Tosser. Mm-hmm. Well, you actually get to come on the set on the days that we are filming and throw things at the cast.
Yep. That looks like it's up here for $75. That seems like a deal.
Yeah.
Somebody wants to throw things at your actors.
Yep. Yep. So they can come in and they can throw things. And we're going to, because it's payday tomorrow, we're going to be dropping all these perks for the weekend, for Creature Feature weekend. And then when it's, you know, then hopefully, you know, if we hit 30%, then we will keep them going for another until we get to 40% in a week. And if we don't, then they'll go back to regular price. So I'm really trying to that. But what's really neat is the trailer has, at last count, has 1,800 views. And it's only been up for a little over a week. So that is the fastest, largest amount of views that we've ever gotten on a trailer other than the Resident Evil teaser trailer that we posted on the Key 13 Films YouTube channel. So very excited about that. And then also in the funding campaign, we have brief little interviews with the entire cast, or most of the cast, I should say, not the entire cast. Heather Harlow, who's our special guest star, she's working on hers. And then Brandy Lynn Dalton, who is starting to make a name for herself in there. She's also on board as a producer of these things. You'll be hearing from her as well. So, but we have all the leads. Jordan Hunley, who is new She's just about to finish at JMU, and she's going to be taking it by storm. She's leading these things. She's in Bloody Summer Camp 2. She has a supporting role in that. She's in Amityville Barbie. That just announced. I don't know many details about that one.
I've just seen some artwork. I think that's all that's out right now.
Yeah, I think that's it. Just the three main cast members. She's already starting to show up in things. Tony Bazemore Jr., who was in Anarchy.
He played
Billy, one of her friends. This is his first leading role. So we're very pleased to have Tony. I loved working with him on Anarchy, so I knew I had to work with him again. We have Kay Leahy, who is an absolute star. I saw her in her first film, or one of her first films, Bloody Summer Camp.
Yes.
And I knew instantly I had to work with her. Justin Martin, who I worked with on the Elementals comic book project. I loved working with him on that. So I definitely wanted to work with him. And the fact that he and Kay worked together, they're on Killer Camp Out 2 together. So they've worked together. I'm still
waiting for that one.
Yeah. And then, those two just, you get the two of them in a room and they're an absolute stitch. Christina Santiago, I actually saw her in a trailer for a project, and I was just absolutely just floored. I found out that she had improv the scene that I was watching. So not only was she really good, she was really good at improv. So I knew I had [S2] Nice. [S1] To work with her. I met her at the premiere of a movie, and you know, I was just like, yeah, definitely got to work with you. Here's a little bit, the character that she plays, which is Diane. When I wrote her, it was kind of a sexy Velma from Scooby-Doo.
Okay. And
it turns out she had cosplayed as Velma from Scooby-Doo and sent me pictures. And I was like, yep, that's it. We're done. We're good. she's a great actress and all that. So, we have Hunter Redfern, who is in Crackoon, he was actually recommended to me by Justin. Hunter is playing some would argue the best role in the movie, Cleaver, or as he calls himself, the Beaver Cleaver. And you can guess what that's referencing to.
Sure.
Yes, I can go crass and crude. Matter of fact, some people have accused me of being just that, but that's okay. You know, embrace who you are. I am crass and crude at times. He is just, when we were doing the read through, and there's he's got some of the best lines in there. Everybody was laughing so hard because just the way he delivered those lines, they were top notch. So, we have those are the cast. We have videos and videos with them. We have a group interview with them. If we can get over 30%, then we've got another video that I'm working on called The Snacks, where they all try out all these snacks from one of those box things.
Okay.
They're all from Asia. So I'm working on that one. I just got to find the pictures of the snacks that they do because, we aren't able to really do close-ups. But
right.
It's a great cast. And then, of course, we have special guest star Heather Harlow, who is a huge Scream Queen. She's in so many films. Yeah.
She was in one of your Phobia shorts, wasn't she?
She was. And again, another one that I had worked with before and I knew I had to work with again. So I wrote the part for her specifically, the part that she plays, which is Betty. I was so glad she was able to accept the role. And then Brandy Lynn Dalton, who plays the agent. And I really can't go in more into detail on what her role is in that.
Okay.
But, you know, she's the one that's holding something that looks like this.
Okay.
Menacing in the proof of concept trailer. So, she's definitely, you know, she's got a very pivotal role, but I can't go into it because it'll spoil the whole movie for you. But so we have that cast, and then we have the great crew. We have Adam Vaughn, who is our cinematographer, director of photography. We have Andrew Stainer back on sound. Like I said, Andrew's been doing sound for me for almost all my project, and he's just phenomenal. He was the one who did the sound on Annie Key. He remixed it. And so, you know, he did an absolute outstanding job. And then Craig Sturtz, our special effects master. Like I said, I really want to share some of these things that he's done, but I can't, because if I do, then it's kind of like, you know, giving you the cookies.
Yeah.
Telling you
what your Christmas gifts are before you open them.
Right. Right. You know? It's like peeking in your stocking, you know? Yeah. You can pretend that you're surprised, but it just kind of loses some of that awesome.
That's right. That's right.
But yeah. So, so we're doing the fanning campaign. We're filming in July. And we hope to have it released very early next year. It just depends on how fast we can get this thing edited. Filming it's not going to take long, because I got a great crew and a great cast, and we did the proof of concept trailer so early, we wound up having dead time. But there was one scene we had to wait till it was dark enough. We wound up just sitting around talking and just having a good time just chatting, but they were so efficient and so good and just nailed their parts every single time. We didn't have to do multiple takes, which is just fantastic.
That's great. You work with professionals. Did we miss anything? Any projects that are upcoming that you wanted to mention that we didn't bring up yet?
No, I've pretty much covered it all. Like I said, Anna Key is out. It's going on the festival circuit. Resident Evil, not sure when that's going to actually come out. That's up to the distributor, but at least, you know, that one's done. Serious Professions, probably going to be next after that. Then Heavy Duty Man, all four. We plan on having all four out this year. Serious Profession was supposed to come out a couple years ago, but because of all the stuff that happened with COVID and personnel changes and stuff, that unfortunately kept getting pushed back, because by the time we finally got everything we needed, then Anna Key was going. We had to get that taken care of and so on and so forth. So, One Last Toast just came out, the short film. You can see that on the website as well as our YouTube channel. And these things, you know, that's our big push right now, just trying to get people to come over, watch the trailer. People are watching the trailer, but we need them to help fund this thing, because it's going to be so much fun. And I think the new poster that I'm working on, I think once people see that, I think people are going to be a lot more willing to jump in on this thing, because then they'll really have, you know, right now you kind of just see these things, but when you really see the things, you'll know the vibe we're going for, and I think that will get a lot more people involved. So
that's cool.
But you know, even if you just watch the proof of concept trailer, that shows you exactly what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. Even though that was from just for the funding campaign, that's, you're going to see, and it's, you know, it's going to feel like Critters and Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, and there's going to be some Evil Dead kind of homages in there, because I'm a fan of all those kind of films, fan of the 80s horror. You know, that's where I started growing, you know, that's what I grew up on, was the 80s horror. And so then, like, other projects that I've got in my mind, like Sexy Sorority Sisters of Death, because in the late 70s, early 80s, there was the devil craze, like Race with the Devil and the Devil Rain, and, you know, there's a lot of Satanist movie. Right. So I really like those. Spectre. I don't know if you've ever seen that one. It was by Gene Roddenberry of Star Trek.
Oh, okay.
It was a failed pilot. which they turned into a kind of a movie.
Okay.
It's, you know, Asmodeus is, you know, one of the names for the devil. So I love that kind of movie. I love movies like Equinox, not the Matthew Modine one, but the 1970 one with Herb Tarlick from WKRP in it. And again, that's another kind of satanic movie. So I love satanic movies. I love the 80s horror, you know, Gremlins, Critters, you know, all those kind of things. So, you know, these things is going to be a lot of fun. It's funny. It's silly. It's dangerous. It's exciting. It's sexy. It's everything that you want in an 80s style film, of course, taking place in modern day. So I think everyone is really going to enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. And like I said, I'm going to put the trailer in this broadcast. That way everybody can at least see it if they watch through this. So we talked about your website, Key 13 Films. We talked about your Indiegogo campaign for these things. I just wanted to make sure if there was any other social media things, outlets, or whatever you want to direct people's attention to. I want to make sure we get a chance to plug that.
Pretty much everything you need to find us on is available through the website. We have links to our Facebook pages. We have links to, oh, there's the kitty.
There she is.
We have links to our Facebook pages. We are on Instagram under Key 13 Film or Films. But yeah, again, links to everything are on our website. So if you don't want to have to do searches and stuff, just go to our website, pick a project. There's links to it on each of the movie pages and the project pages. And you can go straight there and see what we got cooking.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And of course, we want to be as big a supporters as we can of these indie projects and the people who are working on them. So if you're not sharing on our Facebook page yet, I would encourage you to go ahead and start doing that. That way you can reach all the people that we have that are following us.
Thank you for letting me do that. I try not to do that unless I get the okay from the administrator, because I know some administrators out there, and I hate to admit it, but I'm one of them. you know, I have an actors group for Key 13, and it says DMVA actors for Key 13. And when other people post casting calls that aren't our projects, unless they ask me the okay to do so, you know, I get a little grumpy. I have Key 13 Network, which is a group, which is just everything, anything and everything. I want everybody to post everything, casting calls, demo reels, just no spam posts about getting a million followers. I'm going to kick you off. Sorry. Yeah. That's what Key 13 Network, that's for everybody to post anything and everything that they've got. No restrictions, with the exception of pornography and anything nasty.
Yeah. Anything that gets you banned.
Yeah. But, all the rest of it, you know, casting calls, demo reels, scream reels, like Jordan has a great scream reel on her website. Anything like that, that's what Key 13 Network for. But the DMV actors for Key 13 is just for that. So thank you for giving me the okay to post on yours. Sure. I will start doing that here very soon.
You're very welcome. I like to extend that invitation out to anybody that we talk to on the show, because, you know, I consider you to be part of the Scream It Till You Like It family now. You know?
Oh, yes.
So, anyhow, I plan on keeping up on the project. I plan on supporting it myself in some small way, even if it's just promoting. And I want to thank you very much for coming on with me tonight. I'm sorry Mike couldn't be here. He's just been getting his ass kicked at work lately, and he's been doing some really late nights. But I'm sure he would have if he could have. On behalf of myself, on behalf of Mike, who's not here, on behalf of Matt, and on behalf of dangerous alien koosh balls that want to possess you and do things, I say, remember.
Smile, you son of a...